Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at EMU. I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. Last week, we were reporting directly from the Salem Civic Center and the 2014 men's and women's basketball tournament. Great weekend of basketball down there. You've probably already seen the results in some way, whether you watched it on ODAC.TV or whether you saw it on our website in the articles that came up, both the men and the women falling out in the semifinal round. And we'll talk about those games in just a moment. But then the women securing an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament based upon their body of work throughout the year. So basketball does continue. We are currently on spring break here. Most of our teams are spread around doing a variety of things. Baseball team in Florida, which would be a good thing since we got 8 inches of snow this week. And I think the games next week are actually pretty much in jeopardy because I don't see a huge number of sunny, drying days coming up here, but we'll see what happens. So the baseball team is in Florida. The softball team has tried to play two tournaments, one in Virginia Beach, which you assume would be okay weather-wise, and the other up in Salisbury, Maryland, which, again, you would assume might be okay weather-wise from here rather than the valleys and mountains of Harrisonburg. Needless to say, both of those are canceled. But in both cases, they've turned around and scrambled, as all good softball coaches do, find me a field and we'll play. So they ended up down at the Moyer Complex in Salem both last weekend and the weekend coming up. They'll be down there shifting things around. Teams that were going to Salisbury are now going down there. Mm-hmm. Teams that were going to Virginia Beach went down there. They actually changed the name of it, I think, from Beach Blast to Beach Blast in the Mountains, or something like that. Yeah. So it's been a change there. The men's volleyball team left yesterday for a conference match last evening or Wednesday evening, and then on up into New Jersey for the spring break trip. Track and field finished the indoor championships, so they're taking this break in between. Men's basketball is finished, of course, but the women's basketball is getting ready to go to the NCAA tournament, starting out with a first and second round games down in Ferrum College, leaving on Thursday. Practicing then and then into Friday. So needless to say, even though it's spring break, none of us really experience a spring break, but because there's a lot of activity and a lot of action going on, and James has been writing articles right and left, and a lot of basketball going on, though. Why don't you touch this a little bit and recap your perspectives on the ODAC tournament?
Sure. I really think the ODAC basketball tournament, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite spectacles of the year, I think, just to go down there. It's such a great weekend of basketball. There's four games, 3 days in a row, and the championship games on Sunday. It's a really great environment. I know that there's always the questions from other conferences around the country that, you know, they'll do their conference tournaments at a host school or the higher seeds host the whole way through or something like that. It's a neat atmosphere to play in front of your home crowd as well. But I just think for the players to be able to hit the road, go away, stay in a hotel, and go to a civic center like this, it's a very fun setup for them. And I think it's just a great experience for the players. But frankly, I think it's a great experience for everyone who goes. I know the SIDs enjoy it that are down there. I think the fans enjoy it, even though they're further away and it's maybe not quite as loud and raucous as it might be at home. But such an interesting environment and just such a great chance to see so many teams. And it's fun to see the hot teams rise to the surface with how they're playing. We saw, like on the men's side, Guilford kind of struggled at the end of the year, and they were early out in the tournament. Washington and Lee and EMU, two of the hot teams on the men's side at the end of the season, and they run into the semifinals. Just very interesting watching teams just playing well at the right time of the year, and just – I just really enjoy the atmosphere down there.
Well, especially on the men's side, Hampton-Sydney College struggling all the way through with 12 losses on the year and come through and just played outstanding all the way through. Beat the number one team, Randolph-Macon, then knocked us off, and then you run up and ran right up against Virginia Wesleyan, I think 2 points or something like that. So, anything can happen down there. The women go down, really struggle in the first game, eke out a 53-52 win, then come back, and the old nemesis of Guilford College comes through. And certainly they were that probably hurts more. Here's another situation where you beat them six or eight times in a row in the regular season over the last number of years, and then three years in a row they've knocked us out of the tournament. So you're right, anything can happen. Well, just down the road that same weekend in Hampton was the indoor – championships for indoor track and ODAC championships. And again, everybody goes a variety of different places throughout the indoor season, and all of a sudden they all come there. So it's difficult to know what to expect. In terms of that, we had certainly one or two highlights of two gold medals, a couple of records set. Without giving us every detail, what were the highlights that you picked out of that experience? And I had a conversation with Coach Lukowitz I can share a little bit from.
Sure. Well, certainly a highlight is Jordan King winning the high jump. I think it's a fun enough story that here's a guy that's never done the high jump before. He transfers here out of Heston, if I got that right.
To play basketball
and didn't make the basketball team. And coach says, hey, why don't you try the high jump? And he struggles his very first meet. And then within a couple of weeks, he's doing great. And now he's won three ODAC high jump titles in a row. We can say that because they're separate titles for indoor and outdoor. So he won indoor last year, outdoor last year, now indoor again this year. That alone is a really great story. Then he goes and he has his best jump ever, breaks the EMU record again, which was his, and he broke the ODAC championships record. The ODAC has championships records and then, quote, regular season, I guess, records. And so he didn't break the overall record, but he broke the championship record. And I just think that's outstanding. He basically, I think his English height was 6'9".
Right.
That just blows me away that someone can just pick up an event in college and do that well. And it speaks to his athletic ability and speaks to great coaching, I'm sure.
Well, I think in my conversation with Coach Lukowitz, men came in ranked, I believe, in the region. Yeah. Although, unfortunately, I think half the people ranked in the top 10 are from the ODAC or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He talked about the indoor championships really being a situation where everybody else really rose to the occasion. Mm-hmm. There were some outstanding performances. It's not that we didn't perform the way that we thought we could,
right?
Because some people would look at it and say, well, we were a little lower than what we had predicted to be in the beginning and how we were doing throughout. But he said everybody just came, and there's a couple of senior-laden teams that they just really rose to the occasion. And yet there were a lot of PRs by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And actually with Jordan's height, they were debating as to what height to go after. And actually he did go after, I forget whether it was 6'10 or 6'11, I forget which it was. And on his third jump, just cleared it by plenty, caught it with his fingertip on the way over. So he could have actually done higher. Took the 6'9 for that record. I think we also had a distance medley out of the women that was also a gold medal.
Yeah, they came together, and just so interesting. The track season is just so different. I mean, you mentioned, Ray, that teams go these different places. So a lot of times you don't compete against the other athletes from around the conference. But especially this year, they added these qualifying standards. And I don't even think the women had run a DSM, the distance medley, or the DMS, distance medley relay, DMR.
There
we go.
There you go.
Some group of initials. My brain's on spring break, apparently.
Right. But,
the distance medley relay, they hadn't even run until like a week before the ODAC championships. They just went to a meet basically so they could get a time and qualify. And then here they go, and the foursome goes out and has a pretty solid win. And I don't even know that. I think they won by a few seconds going in. So they take the gold there and set the EMU record. So it's just a lot of – it's very interesting. Even, you know, the very small team the women have had, the injuries, Hannah Chapel-Dick, I think she had mono this year. So she really struggled in her training and has just been getting healthy in the last couple of weeks. She runs the mile part of the distance medley relay. And just very impressive the way they can come out and do that, even though they really haven't run all year long.
Well, they're certainly ready to take a break from a little bit of time, and until the snow clears off the track, they're not going to really be able to get started with the outdoor track season, but we'll look forward to that as well. Heading into the NCAA, women go down into a pot of four hosted by Ferrum College. We open up on Friday at 5:00. There should be live stats and
Live stats and video. The links are on our website.
Do you know whether it's a pay-per-view or not at this
Pretty
point?
Sure it's free.
I think Ferrum was requesting the opportunity to do that, so should be able to watch that 5:00 on Friday evening when they go up against CNU. Mm-hmm. Second game is Ferrum versus Capital College or Capital University out of Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And then the winners play on Saturday night at 7:00 and all of that down at Ferrum. And then the one winner there goes on to the Sweet 16. So exciting. Certainly have to go get the game film and watch all of that. Women are just thankful for another chance to play.
Yeah.
Certainly have something to prove. Didn't perform real well last year in the NCAA. All those kids are back. shouldn't at least that part of it is over with, and should be able to come on fairly strong. They're used to the travel, understand the situation. So we'll look to see what happens in that particular way. Any comments you want to make of baseball, softball? You can follow the lines on things there. We've gotten a couple games in. Then they took off, lost the first conference doubleheader, which against Emory and Henry, which I think was pretty tough. That was a team that they felt like maybe they were both ranked near the bottom, at least preseason. So that was one we really had to have.
That was one you want to get, I think the baseball team is playing pretty well. The funniest part for me was on Tuesday. This was the first game the men played down in Florida. I sent a text down to Coach Ben Spots just to ask about getting stats back. And he replied back and said, "It's 78 and we have the AC on." And I believe Tuesday was one of those days here where it was, you know, still bitterly cold as that snow came through the previous day. And it was just funny. And then he followed that up by saying, "We picked a good week to go to Florida."
Well, it's going to take a while for both the baseball and softball to settle into who they are and how they're playing. These games are all used, the tournaments that JD's taking the softball team to, and what they face down there in Florida, just going to be just trying to get reps, just trying to get on the field. And we'll talk more about the baseball and softball as they settle in a little bit more.
I think you're right. So, you know, we'd love to see them go down there and win all their games. But I don't think in coach's mind that's even what the point is. He's looking, especially for baseball, Ben's just looking to figure out who his pitchers are going to be. We know, you know, one or two at the top end of the order, but he's really got to sort a lot of things out with his pitching rotation. And so that's one of the nice deals of playing all these games. He can just throw his young arms out there and just see, all right, who's going to surprise me and do well this year. And so the goal isn't necessarily to win some of these weekend tournaments or, you know, the week-long spring break tournaments. It's just to see who's going to do well this year.
Eventually, I think the women's softball keeps a little bit of an eye on what's going on because of the fact of trying to get an at-large, although ODAC history of getting a second team into the NCAA is not real great on the softball side or the baseball side, to be honest with you. Men's volleyball struggling with injuries and a sort of a low roster there, have struggled with some of the conference matches that have come in here, dropped another one this week to Marymount, which I think was a little bit of a surprise to them, but playing without one of their outside hitters.
Yeah, they're losing Scott Brigham. He's as a freshman, and he was the second leading hitter, and he's just got a tricky back, and some days it works and some days it doesn't, and he hasn't played for a few matches in a row now. I think it's been six straight at the time we recorded this that Scott hasn't played in, and we're 1-5 in those. So definitely missing that other arm to come through the front row. So, yeah, there's the issue of a small roster and the guys just struggling a little bit so they can build things up.
Well, I've talked to Coach Porter, Dom Porter, and he's talked about the fact that he's really not that you – again, in the local waves, there's been a lot of conversation in the sports world about tanking. He's not tanking, but he is trying to take it very carefully with Scott and determining whether it's even worth him trying to continue or whether he needs to just get it the back stronger, the muscles around it. He's never participated in physical therapy or any kind of training like that, so he may do that and is looking forward to the recruits that he has coming in next year. Again, not that he's bypassing this, certainly trying to get the guys to play his style and what he wants out of them, but it's going to be a growing process for them as they go along. A couple of other updates just to keep in mind. The search process is underway for the women's soccer position. We hope to be able to complete that by the end of March. Spring break somehow got right here in the middle of it, and then the NCAA tournament, the ODAC tournament, and so the travel has been a little bit greater for you and I. So we haven't been able to focus quite as much on it, but as soon as we return from this weekend of NCAA, although there is an outside chance, we would certainly hope that if the women win too, we might even be hosting the Sweet 16 the following week, and then we'd have a whole, that would be a lot of fun, but we're not going to go there because as I look through and listen to the shows, selection shows, it's pretty obvious that I have not a clue how or why the NCAA decides where they are going to place teams. So I'm not even going to get into it.
And D3 Hoops seems, you know, they're like the people that do all the prognosticating in D3, and I don't even think they really have a clue how the NCAA does.
Well, I talked to Kevin Griffin, called me two or three times on Sunday and Monday. Do you think we are going to end? D3 Hoops is saying this and the other thing. Yeah. And I just said, you know, these guys are wanting to be the Joe Lenardis of the D1 world in terms of the, you know, putting the bracketology out there and all of that. And so we think in Division I minds, and we try to do it that way, and it just doesn't work because it's not done the same way. So there just isn't – there's no way to predict it in my mind. I've talked to some of the people on the regional basketball committee, and they don't know because they can put their own – they can put their own information out there and make their own determinations, and it's the national committee that makes the final decision. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's turned around. And so then they start looking at who can travel. They always try to keep everybody under 500 miles so they don't have to pay to fly, which – and miss class. I understand all that. So this whole idea, I just think D3 hoops, I'm not against them by any means, but we all try to do it the same way Division I does it, and it just – that's not – it's right. not – it's so, right. you, so there's no – to me, there's no reason as to why you even try to predict what's going to happen. You just sit back and you say. I would like to think, however, that if the women go down there and win two – we would be now. If Randolph-Macon would win too, Randolph-Macon might host, or Virginia Wesleyan, I guess, something like that. Randolph-Macon would probably be the one. So, anyway, well, there's a lot more we could jump into. I've been really, really fascinated by the conversations on the national scene of the talk show hosts, and I listen to them sometimes in the morning just to find out what's going on. By the afternoon, I turn them off because it's the same thing. Right. It's different people talking about it. But I have been really impressed with the conversations that are going on about the whole basketball and the D-League or the NCAA being the training ground for NBA. Pro. Mm-hmm. And so the NBA is not going to touch that. And people calling it for it to be a facade, the hypocrisy of saying that this is about an education when you then join a conference halfway across the country and you're taking them out of class more. How can it be? We've got people calling. And I have to say that I've often said that you know, maybe that's one way to look at it is – I have a real difficulty with the whole issue of having people come simply wanting to make that their stepping stone to get into the next one and not really wanting the education. And I also recognize that when I say that, I'm probably talking about, as we used to say in high school administration, as an assistant principal, you'll spend 80% of your time with 20% of the students who are coming to your office. So it's probably the same situation, but we always, the ones that are highest notoriety and out in the middle are the ones that get it. So I would love to get into that more. I'm not going to do that now.
We don't have 2 hours for a podcast.
No, we don't have 2 hours for a podcast. And again, mine would only be pontificating my particular viewpoint, and I'd be no different or better than the other people that are on the national radio is doing it. But it is a very, I think, a very important topic because, as I've said before, to some degree, Division III struggles with the same issues. All of us in Division III are out to find the best athletes, and sometimes that doesn't mean they are the best student, and they may not even be interested in an education. What they're interested in is playing at the collegiate level. And again, the focus goes to basketball. If we had football, the focus would go to football, I'm sure. But the reality still is there that there are kids who are they and their parents have dreamed about playing at the collegiate level. And so since we deal with it to some degree, much lesser degree, but to a degree that we have to face the issue at Division III, I just can't even fathom the fact that anybody would think it's not happening at a Division I level. Yeah. And we could go on into that at all. Final comment for today, because I don't think we mentioned it before, was the 5 seconds of fame that EMU got on ESPN. Uh-huh. You want to talk just a little bit about that process of getting it sent in and then what all happened with that and the kind of response you got from it?
Certainly an exciting process. We sent the video through my sports information office. Very happy to have the local video crew doing the game. So they had these quick snippets they'd use for instant replays. They could just send me the files. Kind of a whirlwind, and it's one of those things that a person in my position kind of lives for, you know, get your school, your player on a national scene. So a lot of fun. I'll just leave all that alone. One thing I have noticed is that video is just more and more important and as the world goes the way it's going. Video is just so important. And it's very interesting to see the sheet that ESPN had in place for how to send them video. But when it came down to it, as technology continues to increase, it's really simple. They have one place that I can send it. Like you go to this website, send them a video, you know the right email address to who to link it to, and boom, you just sent them video. And that's really all you have to do, even though, you know, a couple years ago they had this whole sheet of 12 steps you had to follow. But just so exciting to get David Falk and EMU on national TV. I think everyone knows ESPN is the biggest sports network in the world. And just to have our brand, our product, we don't use those words very often on the podcast, but that's common terminology, to get our brand and our product out onto the national scene like that. It's just really exciting.
And in case some of you didn't get a chance to see it,
sure.
On the one Saturday night after one of our games, it appeared as number 9.
On SportsCenter's top 10 plays.
SportsCenter's top 10. And then the next day, Sunday morning, it ended up on ESPNU, I think, and they do a top 10, and it was number 5, and somehow they had picked up a second dunk. And that's when you talk about brand. The commentator's comment after the first dunk was, "Eastern Mennonite?" with a question. And after the second dunk, he says, "Hello, Eastern Mennonite."
Right.
So that's the brand
piece. We like that one better.
Yeah, we like that one. But again, it's sort of encapsulated because the first one's a question, like, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
And then the next one comes about, hello. So you talk about branding. So I did talk to the marketing people in the enrollment division, and I said I would like $10,000 from their budget to my budget because we did more in 5 seconds to promote the university than maybe they've done in a year.
No, they said, no, we'll give you $50,000.
Right, No, I love those people, and it's great, but it does, I mean, you talked, I think you put it on our Facebook page and had 18,000 hits the next day.
Yeah, I think within a couple of days it had 19,000 views, and normally when I put an article up or something, I get about 200. So, you know, I'm not going to do the quick math and tell you how many hundreds of times bigger that was, but that gives you an idea.
No, there's a lot of people repeating it, but there were probably a lot of people, hey, did you see this one?
Right.
So they showed it there. And certainly you're right, the video, because of the fact we can all watch them on our phones now and don't have to be in front of a computer, I think that has also brought the video there. So anyway, that's our 1 year, the highlight of the athletic department's year, perhaps something like that. Anyway, there's a lot more we could talk about. If any of you are around and pick up a copy of the Weather Vane, I really call attention to an article written by Adam Posey, captain of the baseball team, on his experience coming here. It's entitled "It Took Me 3 Years to Take Pride in EMU." Just a highlight of what can happen and what does happen here at EMU as we try to do that. So, well, we could go on because it's spring break, but we have some other things to do. We're going to end this one for now. We'll certainly make sure you pay close attention to the NCAA tournament the coming weekend, and we'll be back in full swing with everything when everybody returns back to campus and the final push to the end of the school year. Thanks for joining us on Inside Athletics. Look forward to talking with you next week. And until then, make it a great week.